Have you ever caught yourself wondering if that person, your closest friend, the one who knows your coffee order and your deepest fears, might be something more? Emily Henry's People We Meet on Vacation captures this exquisite tension with devastating accuracy. When it debuted in 2021, it didn't just become a bestseller, it sparked a cultural conversation about the blurred lines between friendship and love. Taylor Swift keeps it on her nightstand, hashtag book talk creators dissect its emotional layers in viral videos. Why? Because this story articulates what so many of us feel but rarely acknowledge, loving someone for years without being able to say it. Through Poppy and Alex's 12-year journey from awkward college acquaintances to something far more complicated, Henry explores how the most profound love stories often hide in plain sight, disguised as friendship. Poppy Wright lives in neon colors and spontaneous adventures. Alex Nilsson exists in khakis and carefully planned routines. Their first meeting at University of Chicago orientation is painfully awkward. Her joke falls flat, he visibly judges her orange and pink floral jumpsuit, and they part ways certain they'll never speak again. Yet a year later, stranded on campus during spring break, they embark on a road trip home together. As night falls and Joni Mitchell plays, Alex surprises Poppy by singing A Case of You. Suddenly, he's not just some guy from Linfield. With Alex, she doesn't have to audition for friendship. She can simply exist. From this foundation emerges their sacred tradition. Every summer, no matter where life takes them, they travel somewhere together. Their first summer trip to Vancouver Island's hot springs, budget accommodations, constant rain, limited dining, leaves them completely content. Alex promises to keep summers open for Poppy, like signing a life contract. In San Francisco, they pretend to be newlyweds at wineries. Poppy deliberately avoids posting pictures online, wanting to keep this world theirs alone. In New Orleans, they create alter egos, Gladys and Keith Vivant, a Broadway power couple. Alex confides, "You make me weird. I'm not like this with anyone else." During a rafting trip in Vail, he shares that after his mother died, he tried to be exactly what everyone needed. With Poppy, he discovered who he really was. As years pass, their trips grow more elaborate, Tuscany, Croatia, but the core remains unchanged. For 1 week each year, they exist in a bubble where nothing else matters. These aren't just vacations, they're the foundation of a friendship so deep it defies conventional boundaries. Yet beneath the surface lies an unspoken tension, a what if that neither dares acknowledge, growing stronger with each passing summer. Throughout their decade together, Poppy suppresses fleeting moments of attraction. During turbulence on their Vancouver Island flight, Alex takes her hand, sparking that occasional 5% what if feeling. In Nashville, when Alex makes his signature sad puppy face, she experiences her first conscious desire to kiss him, immediately packing the feeling away. Their relationship grows complicated as they date others. Alex's girlfriend Sarah feels weird about their summer trips. Poppy cycles through boyfriends who don't understand her connection with Alex. During their Tuscany trip, when Poppy has a pregnancy scare, Alex finds her on the terrace at dawn. As he cries into her shoulder, she holds him, a moment of profound intimacy neither acknowledges afterward. The tension finally breaks in Croatia. After getting drunk at dinner, they kiss passionately, but Alex stops them, saying, "We can't do this because they're drunk." Poppy pretends it doesn't matter, suggesting they forget it happened. This miscommunication leads to a 2-year silence, the longest since meeting. The classic dilemma. How do you tell your best friend you're in love when losing them would be unbearable? After Croatia, their friendship collapses. Alex pulled away because he wanted the kiss to mean something, not just a drunken mistake. When he apologized, Poppy pretended it meant nothing, though she hadn't processed her own feelings. Their communication shrinks to birthday texts and occasional likes. Poppy buries herself in travel assignments, Alex returns to teaching, and gets back with Sarah. Both are miserable, but too proud to reach out. During this separation, Poppy achieves everything she thought she wanted: dream job, financial stability, a stylish New York apartment, yet feels hollow. Her friend Rachel diagnoses her with millennial ennui: goals achieved, but purpose lost. When Rachel suggests retracing her steps to find happiness, Poppy knows instantly: 2 years ago in Croatia with Alex. This realization prompts a simple "Hey" text. Alex replies immediately. After awkward small talk, they slip back into old banter. Poppy suggests one more summer trip, a last chance to salvage their friendship or finally acknowledge what's been between them all along. Poppy impulsively invites Alex to Palm Springs, secretly funding the trip while claiming it's for work. Their reunion is intensely emotional, but the trip becomes a comedy of disasters: broken air conditioning, Alex's back spasm, a flat tire, a disappointing zoo. Every attempt to recreate their carefree past highlights how much has changed. The physical tension grows unbearable. When Poppy massages Icy Hot onto Alex's injured back, the attraction is undeniable. While discussing dating, they discover they both swipe right for each other on Tinder, an electric moment Alex quickly deflects. The turning point comes during a rainstorm on the balcony. Alex pulls Poppy close, promising, "You won't lose me. As long as you want me, I'm here." Their passion finally breaks free as they make love, Poppy accidentally blurting, "I love you." Alex responds without hesitation, "I love you too." Poppy reveals her deepest fear, that once someone truly sees her, they'll find something unlovable. Alex promises nothing will change, admitting he's been trying to stop loving her since Croatia. For one perfect moment, everything seems resolved, until the truth surfaces at the airport. At the airport, their goodbye shatters when Poppy admits R&R didn't approve the trip. She paid for it herself, needing a break from life. Alex is devastated. He reveals he's loved her for years, even researched jobs near her during their silence, and feels she's treated him like a vacation from real life. As his flight boards, he tells her they need space. "I know what I want. You need to figure this out. I can't be a break from your real life." Poppy starts therapy, limits travel, and searches for jobs in New York and Linfield. Her perspective shifts when Jason Stanley, her middle school bully, apologizes on the subway, explaining he was just a scared kid. Seeing him as a kind adult still living contentedly in Linfield shatters her assumptions. She realizes the problem was never the place, but her perception. Poppy quits her job and returns to Linfield, not running away this time, but running toward what she wants. She finds Alex at Birdie's and confesses she's loved him for 12 years, kept her distance out of fear, and would give up everything to be with him. He is home to her. As proof, she shows him the snake plant from Palm Springs, still alive. Alex is emotional but hesitant, saying they don't make sense and he can't watch it fall apart again. Devastated, Poppy leaves, but turns back to say she doesn't regret being honest. As she reaches her parents' car, Alex runs after her. He admits his therapist thinks he's afraid to be happy, terrified she'll get bored, that he'll lose her someday, that he couldn't survive her death like his mother's. Poppy takes his hands. He's already proven he can survive loss. "It's fucking terrifying to be in love with each other," she whispers. He presses his forehead to hers. "I never want to live without this," he says, calling her his tiny fighter, before declaring, "You are my home." As he kisses her, she thinks, "We are. We're home." In the epilogue, Poppy leaves R&R for a new column called People You Meet in New York, exploring her city through personal stories. Their future unfolds with practical romance, a Scandinavian adventure in affordable hostels, creating their own space at Betty's house through paint swatches and quiet family evenings. After years searching for fulfillment in exotic locations, Poppy discovers the most significant travels are emotional ones, leading us to people who make any location feel like home.